Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our show, It's Time to Awake. On this show, there will be various topics presented, examined, and explained with an emphasis on the Word of God and the doctrine of repentance through His Son, Christ. Romans 13 and 11, and that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, but now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. We hope that you may be edified by the word of God through Christ. Shalom.
Give all praises, honor, glory to the Heavenly Father through His only begotten Son, Christ, for giving us the opportunity to come again this week on the show, on the radio show, to go over scriptures with our people. So what we're going to do today, the topic that we're going to discuss today is being an ordained preacher of the word, being an ordained preacher, being an ordained minister, being a minister, being a pastor, whatever way you want to look at it, because people, okay, will go to these different places, divinity school and all that, and, oh, I got my certificate.
Right.
Now I'm an ordained minister. Or the bigger problem is you have a lot of our people that look up to these so-called ordained ministers as some holy person or some holy thing, and they give them all credence, and they listen to them and hang on to every word that these people tell them. So when you say, oh, my pastor went to such and such a school and they got their certificate and this and that, we're going to see how does a person become, is ordained to preach the word of God. How does that happen? We're going to look to see. So the first scripture, and we're going to go based on the Bible of what's written for us to follow, and we're going to go based on that. So the first scripture we're going to go to is John, St. John chapter 3, and we're going to read verse 27. So how does it happen? How does someone become an ordained preacher of the word of God? How does it happen?
What verse?
27.
St. John, the third chapter, verse 27. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven.
So this is the most important thing. It says, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. So this right here is telling us, you should see right here that what? You can't go to school. You can't get a certificate from a man, from an institution, to say, okay, now you have been ordained to preach the word of God. It doesn't happen that way. It says a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. So God, through his only begotten Son, Christ, have to put that spirit on that man to what? Teach his word. And Lord willing, for the rest of the class, we're going to go over scriptures to bring that out and to show that. So it says, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Again, God, through his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, is the one that give those gifts unto men to go out and to preach his word according to as it is written. That's how it's always been in the past, but when he dealt with prophets and priests and the Levites, and that's how it's going to be throughout until Jesus Christ returns.
Right.
So go to Ephesians 4. And we're going to read verse 10 and verse 11. Because we just read, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. We're going to look at what Christ said and what Christ did before he left the earth.
Ephesians 4, verse 10. He that descendeth is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers.
Stop. So it says, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens. Back in John 3:27, a man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. This is telling you right here in Ephesians 4 that Christ, what, ascended back into heaven with where his heavenly Father is. Then, when he did that, when he left the earth, what did he do? He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Christ is the one that put that spirit on those men to what? Bring out his word and to teach his word so that what? That remnant that are chosen can what? Hear the word, repent, and be turned back to him.
Right.
To Christ. Christ is the one that gave those gifts. So someone can't go to school or get a certificate and say, okay, you know what? Now I've become an ordained minister. Now I've become a preacher of the word. Because we're reading here that Christ is the one that gave those gifts unto men. And it didn't say that these people had to go and get a certificate or go to certain schools to get it. It didn't say that. It says it's a gift that Christ gave to certain people. Now, the question is, or the question should be, well, if Christ put the Spirit on these people and he's the one that gives the gifts and someone can't get it by going to a divinity school, how can we tell who these people are? How can we tell the real ministers, the real pastors, the real prophets, so on and so on? How can we tell if that's a gift that came from heaven and it's dispersed among men? How can we tell who those men are? How can we tell? That should be the burning question on people's mind. How can we tell who the true ordained preachers of the word are? Let's look. Let's go to Matthew 7. And this is going to tell us how we can tell. Because we can tell who they are based on these things. Matthew 7, and we're going to read 16 through 18.
Matthew 7, verse 16. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles?
Stop. It says, you shall know them by their fruits. Further up, he was giving us a warning about false prophets, teachers, so on and so forth, because there are some ones out there that there are many out there that are false and that are what? Doing their own thing, pimping the people,
right,
and doing great wickedness.
Right. So just one thing, though. The fruits is the doings, the deeds.
Right.
That's what, you know, you have to look at, because that's what people do. They look at someone's corrupt fruit and then say, you can't judge.
Right.
You know, when you speak out on it, like Eddie Long was in national news.
Right.
Grooming little boys to have sex with them when they became of age according to this society.
Right.
And then when you say that's wrong because the Bible says you're not supposed to be that way, especially as a married man, you a bishop, mm-hmm, husband of one wife,
right,
and you got all these extramarital little freaky things going on, you can't judge.
Right.
But what is his deeds is what's exposing him.
Exactly.
Did you put a gun up to his head and make him do that and then come back and call him out on it?
Nope.
So the whole point is the fruits is the deeds and doings of the people in question, just
exactly,
like us, anyone.
Exactly.
Go ahead, bro.
That's a good point. Now, again, it says, you shall know them by their fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And you explain the fruits is what a person is doing, their action.
Right.
Further on, we're going to read other scriptures that's going to show us some of the actions that the ministers or ordained preachers should exhibit.
Right, exactly.
And when you look at those characteristics, you can look at your pastor or whatever national pastor it is and say, okay, does this person add up to what the Bible is saying.
Right, exactly.
And how a preacher should be. So it says, ye shall know them by their fruits, their works, their actions, their deeds, the things that they are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles?
Mm.
So when you go to grab like a bunch of grapes, what do you get thorns? You get grapes.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, read 17.
Matthew 7, verse 17. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit.
Okay, so even so, a good tree bringeth forth good fruit. So, and a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. So, again, this is talking about the actions. Being a minister, a pastor, those things, that should be what a good thing. That is a good thing in the eyes of the Lord. So when someone is like that, their actions are going to be what? In line according to the Bible. It's going to be good things that they're doing.
Right.
They're not going to be corrupt. Right. They're not going to what? Be filthy for lucre, which is money. Pay me, pay me, pay me, pay me. Right? Got two mansions, two private jets, things like that. And they are not helping out the people that's in their congregation.
Mm.
Those are what? Evil, corrupt fruits. They're not going to be what? Molesting little boys in their congregation.
Right.
They're not going to be what? Committing adultery with women that are in the congregation.
Or men.
Or men. They're not going to be doing those things because it says a good tree bringeth forth good fruit. So everything that this person does is going to be in line according to what the word of the Lord says.
Right.
And says, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. So when we see those things are what? That such a person is corrupted.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. They're very corrupted. So when people say, just like what you say, oh, you can't judge. Listen, we didn't write the Bible, and we didn't put the things in here on how a preacher or any one of us should be. We didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not judging. Because this is not our words.
Mm.
We're bringing out the word of the Lord, the correction, and we're showing what it should be. But we're not judging. We look at ourselves, make sure that, number one, before we go out preaching, we ourselves are doing these very same things the scriptures talk about, and constantly examine ourselves. So we're not judging. Read verse 18.
Verse 18, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit.
Okay, so in essence, he's saying the same thing that he says in verse 17.
Mm-hmm.
A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. And we've explained that. Read verse 15, Matthew 7 and 15. Reason why he talked about the fruits is this reason here.
Matthew 7 and 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in shepherd's sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves.
Okay. So he's warning, Christ is warning the people, because he said, even though, I'm the one that's going to put the spirit on people to go out and be pastors, evangelists, so on and so forth. Yeah, there are going to be some false prophets that are out there as well.
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying, beware of false prophets, false teachers, false ministers, right, which come to you in sheep's clothing. What that means is that they come to you and they appear to be what? Righteous. They appear to be humble.
Mm-hmm.
And our people, this is not a put down, but we're so simplistic and we fall for anything that a man could come to you in what? A nice tie and white robes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And with a Bible in his hand, and you swear that that man is the holiest thing ever.
Right.
When this man is what? Molesting little boys, right?
Mm-hmm.
Greedy for filthy lucre, committing all kind of corrupted acts.
Right.
But just because of their appearance,
right?
You what? You give them credit.
Right. Let me just say that you said it before, and we always say it. You said you don't go to a man to receive understanding out of the Bible.
Right.
Like these seminary, divinity schools.
Right.
As a matter of fact, when you look at the way the seminary and divinity schools were set up, you can just type in and Google it online. It's based on something that came from the Catholic Church out of the Council of Trent. And one of their main emphases is to teach philosophy.
Right.
I mean, Aristotle, Socrates, and the great philosophers, great so-called thinkers of their times.
Right.
And this is totally contrary to the Bible, because it's not according to a man's mind. It's according to the mind of God who sent his son Christ.
Exactly.
And this is the problem. So it's much about philosophy, man's doings, corruptness, and not about the Bible, these people that are sporting these divinity degrees and talking about what seminary schools they went to.
Exactly.
Go ahead, bro.
Exactly. And that's the thing. So Christ is telling us to what? To be weary of these things.
Exactly.
Okay, because there are false prophets that are out there. It says, come to you in sheep's clothing. We explain that. But inwardly, they are ravening wolves.
Right.
So when you look at those two animals that Christ used in this parable here to describe them, a sheep is what? Very humble,
right.
Just docile, passive,
mm-hmm.
Can't do no wrong.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that's how these people come and they appear to you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you look at a wolf is the complete opposite.
Yeah,
a wolf tears, tears up stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So inwardly, that's how these people are. They're very corrupted. Whether it be all they want is just money, 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 money.
Right.
All they want is just to fulfill their sexual desires.
Right.
And they just can't get enough. Inwardly, you're not seeing that. Eventually, their actions show it, but inwardly, that's what they're about.
Right.
So Christ is telling us to beware of these things, and that's why we read, "Ye shall know them by their fruits," what they are doing.
Right.
Okay. Now, go from there to Titus 1. We're still dealing with how can we tell who these people are, because we explained that you can't go to divinity seminary school and get a degree and say, okay, now I'm an ordained minister or pastor of the word. Titus 1, verse 7.
For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre.
Stop. So it says, for a bishop. They still use that term today, someone who's over a church, right?
Mm-hmm. Bishop.
In a congregation. It says, must be blameless. Well, everybody makes mistakes.
Right. Well, how do you make a mistake grooming young boys to have sex with them?
Exactly.
How is that a mistake?
That ain't no mistake.
In Buffalo, how do you make a mistake as a man, end up in bed? You're a minister.
Mm-hmm.
As a man, end up in bed with another man. You get caught out there by your wife, the minister's wife.
Right.
And not only do you not get dealt with, thus saith the Lord, you come back even stronger and your congregation kicked your wife out.
Wow. Yeah.
How is that? That's a mistake.
Nope.
Okay.
Not at all. That ain't no mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Says, for a bishop must be blameless, so can't have anything somebody can accuse you of, saying, well, you did this, you did that.
Right.
And then it's right, turns out to be right.
Right. There could be false accusations.
Exactly. That's how it turns out to be
right. Exactly right. Go ahead.
So there could be false accusations, but that's it. It should be
right.
Just that, false
right.
Accusations.
Right.
It says, as the steward of God, meaning what? As a chosen vessel of God.
Mm-hmm.
Not self-willed, what? Not going about it your own way. You're going to establish your own doctrine.
Right.
Develop your own books.
Mm-hmm.
All those things when the Bible is already written for us to follow.
Exactly.
And that's enough for us to follow. Exactly. We don't need another guide. You're self-willed. Not soon angry, what? Quick to get upset, angry, go off in your own anger. Right. Not given to wine, not a drunkard, no striker, not quick to fight. The part that I want to focus on, not given to filthy lucre. What is that talking about? It's talking about being greedy for that money, for that paper.
Creflo.
That's right. Right? Not greedy for filthy lucre. This is telling you what a bishop is.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at these people, what? Pay me. Money cometh, right?
Right, yeah. Leroy Thompson. Might have covered the beat down.
I mean, the first time it was on the blog talk that you did, I mean, the first time I heard that, I was just sitting there. I couldn't help but laugh. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. And then people are just rushing to the stage, just pouring money in.
Yeah.
Pouring money in. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Right? But this is what these people are about. Filthy lucre.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at them, they're living, what, they got two mansions, sometimes even more,
mm-hmm.
a private jet, you know, all these different things. And not saying there's anything wrong with having those things, but how you come about
right.
getting those things.
The love of money.
Exactly. That's the problem, because it says a bishop should not be given to filthy lucre, so a bishop should not be into those things. And we have examples in here in the Bible of what? Of when the money was being put in the treasury in the temple, the priest that was over the temple, when they came to raid Jerusalem, because the other nations, the Romans or whatever,
mm-hmm.
knew that a lot of money was in the temple. They
mm-hmm.
came to raid the temple. And the priest, the pastor that was over the temple says, no, the money that's in the temple is for the fatherless and the widow.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say, oh, that
Our
money,
chariot.
Exactly, it's mine. I need a new chariot. That's what they had back then. He didn't say that. Right? The money that's in the temple or in the treasury or whatever is for the fatherless and the widows, because those are the things that what makes a person righteous.
Inside of the Most High.
Exactly. And so when we look today and see these people here, they're the complete opposite. So you should be now starting to get an understanding, okay, are these people that I'm looking at really an ordained preacher of the word? Are they an ordained minister?
Well, the big thing is, do you care?
That's too.
You know what I mean? That's the thing.
That's the bottom line.
Because you know
right.
how this goes. You've been
yeah.
around long enough to know.
Right.
You point it out, you make it clear. Well, that's not one of the pastors that you. How many people in your church? That's not one of the pastors. You know what I mean?
Right.
My pastor drives a nice car. He's a nice
right.
house. Our pastor, proud of it.
Yeah.
Proud of what? Foolishness. Because
yeah.
you don't care.
Bottom line. But further we go on into the class, we're going to see that you should care.
Mm-hmm.
Because our topics that we discussed, we said it before, is based on something called repentance.
Right.
So it is important that you should care about these things. But let's go from there. Go to James 1:27, and we mentioned it about the fatherless and the widow,
right.
how those things are righteous in the eyes of God.
James 1, verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world.
Pure religion and undefiled. This is what, because remember, the scripture says, to whom much is given, much is required.
Right.
So these people are put on an even, they're held to a higher standard.
Mm-hmm.
So it says pure religion, undefiled. These men should be what? Undefiled.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is wrong with them as far as them getting caught up in scandals and all those other stuff. Right? And it says pure religion and undefiled before God. And the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction.
Right.
Now, when you look at a lot of these churches, what do you have? You have a lot of people in there
right.
without a father.
Right.
Their father is what? Either dead.
In jail.
Or locked up in jail somewhere.
Oh, no.
Strung out on drugs somewhere.
That's a whole other class.
Yeah. right? And says, and widows. A lot of, you know, a lot of our older generation, they have... The scripture says our people have a zeal to worship God, but not
right.
according to knowledge. So
right.
they go to church. Yeah, you know, we're supposed to worship God, supposed to do the right thing.
Right.
Blah, 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 this and that. Right? And these are the people that you'll find in a lot of these churches.
Mm-hmm.
But how is that man that's over them dealing with them? Is he visiting them? Is he dealing with them according to their needs that they have?
Mm.
Right? Is he doing that? Because it says... Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. This is written so many times throughout the Bible. I can't even count it.
Right.
Visiting the fatherless
right.
and widows.
Right.
That's one of the things, as a matter of fact, that we got destroyed out the land of Jerusalem for.
Exactly.
So this is very, very important, in the eyes of God.
Because you said it's pure religion.
Bottom line.
It's the core of understanding how we are to be.
Exactly.
And this is some of the things, and being unspotted from the world, that's that understanding of repentance and believing the gospel. Meaning once you figure out what you're doing wrong, you leave it.
Exactly.
That's how you blot that spot out or clear that spot, and you don't go back and do it again.
Exactly.
And then you find more things out that, you know, you need to deal with.
Not saying, you know, I made a mistake and, then, you know, so I slept with this guy and I couldn't help it. Yeah, it was just a lust in me. I couldn't help it.
Right. But see, the real life example is you could look at the situation. I hate to keep blowing his name up, but he put his name out there, Eddie Long.
Right.
What were a lot of those men that he was dealing with looking for and thought they had found?
That's a good point, bro. I forgot about that. They were looking for a father.
They thought they had found one in him, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And he did visit them. He did, like, you know, check on them. But what was he doing, the little fiend that he is, creeping up behind them, trying to bust them in the booty? You understand what I'm saying?
Right, he visited them for the wrong reason.
Exactly. And this is the thing. They were looking for something that is needed.
Right.
Desperately needed in our society as it stands now.
Exactly.
Especially people that look like me and you.
Yep.
Right? So now, imagine that. Kids come to the congregation. You know how I am with kids.
Right.
Imagine you find out that I'm grooming these kids, taking them on trips, buying them gifts to deal with them in some kind of, what, defiling way.
Right.
Come on. You'd be ready to go get a gun.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? But this is what this guy did.
Right.
They know he made a mistake or they alleged it. What so-called black man in his right mind, after he's older, is even going to come out and say, this dude was trying to punk me, and I was in this relationship with this guy, and he was grooming me? Come on. That just don't happen. That is so taboo.
Exactly.
For a young man to do that. That's ridiculous.
Exactly.
So you know there was something to it, and then it was five accusers.
Right.
Not four.
Right.
Five. And this is what was the crux of it. If he would have been dealing with that, they would have been better off.
Exactly.
Dealing with the fatherless, because they were looking for that they didn't have.
Exactly. Forever. Yep, that's a good point, because one of the men that are in the Bible that's highly regarded as someone righteous, that many mentions were made of him, and he was so righteous in the eyes of God, he got taken up into heaven. He didn't even die.
Right.
Elijah.
Exactly.
Elijah exemplified this. Because there was one point in there he dealt with that widow.
Right.
And she had a son. Right?
Grooming her.
Yeah.
He was grooming him.
No, he was grooming her. At the end of it, because he stayed with her for a while. He didn't say, you know, I've known you now for a while. And, you know, or he didn't try to make advantage of her.
Right.
The man was so righteous, he dealt with them in the word of God.
Right.
Then he bounced.
Right.
Not try to, you know, abuse them. That's a righteous person.
And the thing, were they better off after he left or before?
They were better off after he left because he dealt with the word of God.
Thank you.
And that's the thing. And that's the example. So we have examples in the Bible.
Right.
Now, that's a hell of an example when you look at it. Because, like I said, Elijah is, like, referenced several times out by Paul, Christ. Just was highly revered, him and Moses. Okay, but and we see the example of what pure religion and undefiled before God is.
But see, now this is what makes the Bible real, because you dealing with, you brought up Elijah.
Right.
Right. So let's look at his example or how those people were restored and better off from him dealing with them.
Right.
As opposed to Eddie Long. Those men are what? Destroyed.
That's true.
Families destroyed, embarrassed. I mean, you got to figure the mothers of these men probably having all kind of problems with, I just gave my kid over to this cat.
That's true.
All this foolishness going on. So are they better off after Eddie Long?
No, they're not.
So now, is he a corrupt tree bringing forth corrupt fruit? Or is he like Elijah, a good tree bringing forth good fruit?
He is a corrupt tree bringing forth evil.
So you shall know them by their fruits. He ain't no damn ordained minister.
Exactly.
And I put it that way.
Right.
Damn.
Right.
He don't even get to the level of being a damn ordination. He's evil.
Exactly.
And that's what you got to watch for when you're dealing with these men.
Exactly.
Calling themselves what? ordained ministers. The examples are there.
Exactly.
You just have to study your Bible to know what you're looking at.
Exactly.
Go ahead, bro.
Yep, that's a good point. Now, let's go from there to Jeremiah chapter 23, and we're going to read verse 2.
Yeah, this is good.
Okay, so again, sticking on that point. So
Jeremiah 23, verse 2.
Yep.
Jeremiah 23, verse 2. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them.
Stop. I'm sorry. Have not what?
Visited them.
Okay, so didn't we read to visit the fatherless
yeah.
and widows?
Yeah.
Again, it's the same word is being mentioned.
Right.
So it's showing you what high importance is have in the eyes of God. Well, go ahead.
Behold, I will visit upon you the evil you're doing, saith the Lord.
Okay, so the Lord is saying this. So even back then when we were in the land, in our own land, they had corrupted pastors as well. Because he's saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and have driven them away. How did they do that? By not visiting the fatherless and widows, by teaching them lies.
Exactly. And hypocrisy.
Exactly. And hypocrisy. All those things, which is the same thing that you have happening today. People going to church thinking that they're going to receive salvation by going every Sunday or whatever
right.
day that they go and listen to this man, and they're being what? Being driven away further and further and further away
right.
from the Most High through his son Christ, because Christ is not being taught. They're not being taught, okay, adultery is wrong, fornication is wrong, you know, being corrupted, all those different things. You're not being taught those things.
Can I just make this one comment? Because
yeah,
you cook with gasoline, this one. You know what? You said Christ isn't being taught.
Right.
But see, the people don't understand something.
Mm-hmm.
That because you throw the word Christ around,
right.
what you're talking about, and I just want to explain it,
right.
the Christ of this Bible is not being taught. Because there is a Christ that's being taught.
Right, right.
The Christ that's being taught in church is the Christ that was born on December 25th.
Yep,
that's true. All love that tells you not to judge according to righteous judgment. But the Christ in the Bible was not immaculately conceived.
Right.
He wasn't born on December 25th.
Right.
He's telling you to judge, but judge righteous judgment. That's
exactly.
according to the word, so that you can tell what corruptness is
exactly.
and what good is.
Exactly.
So when you see people that are corrupt and bringing forth corrupt fruit,
right.
you know to run.
Exactly.
That's the Bible, the Christ we're talking about.
Right, right,
that's
right.
not being taught. Go
right.
ahead, bro.
Yeah, good point. And thanks for bringing that out, because that's exactly what it is.
Right.
Then it says, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. So, all these people doing these evil and all these corrupted things, molesting the little boys, sleeping around, committing adultery.
Right.
The Lord's going to get them back for that.
Exactly.
And the Lord is going to bring that out eventually. Christ tells us that what? There's nothing secret that shall not be made manifest.
Right.
So people, when they do the molestation and all that in some back room, hotel,
right.
or wherever, somewhere dark, and it's secret for a while,
right.
but it eventually comes out and they're exposed for who they are.
Exactly.
And the Lord also is going to judge them.
Right.
And that's the thing that we have to keep in mind. Okay. Now, let's continue on. Let's go to 1 Peter 4.
Mm-hmm.
What else will these ordained ministers and preachers be like? How else can we tell? We're going to read 1 Peter 4, verse 11. Now, we used to read the scripture a lot. And anyone who listens to the show should know the scripture very well, but we're going to read it again.
1 Peter 4, verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Okay, so it says, if any man minister. And even when you read up, the like intent is talking about ministering and stewards and having the gifts, so on and so forth. So when you get to 11, it says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Any man that's an ordained preacher of the word, minister, pastor, bishop, whatever you want to call them,
mm-hmm.
if they're speaking, it says they have to speak according to the oracles of God. The word oracles meaning the word of God.
Exactly.
So a while ago when you mentioned that there is a Christ that's being preached in the churches, but not the Christ that's according to the word,
right.
That's exactly what it is.
Exactly.
They're going by their own mind.
Right.
They're going, exactly, tradition.
Right.
That's been passed down through generations.
Right.
Because just like what we mentioned, Christ is not born on December 25th. He didn't tell us, don't judge, because
right.
you ain't perfect yourself.
Right.
He didn't say any of that, right? That's not going according to the oracles of God.
Right.
A pastor and a real ordained minister of the word is going to pick up the Bible, and they're going to go word by word, and they're going to bring out things on how we have to get our lives better,
right.
because we're all corrupted as men and women on this planet,
mm-hmm.
and we're being given a chance to get it right before Jesus Christ returns, and that is what an ordained minister should be doing, bringing out the word of God, because remember Paul says, how can they learn without a preacher?
Exactly.
So it's showing you the importance of it, but the preacher has to speak according as the oracles of God,
right.
according to the word of God.
Right.
Then it says, if any man minister,
wow.
let him do it as of the ability which God giveth,
right.
not which an institution giveth,
right.
not which a certificate giveth.
Right.
The ability that God giveth, because remember, the first two scriptures we read, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven.
Right.
So when as someone is an ordained preacher of the word, it's a gift that was given from God through Christ. Because, again, the scriptures that we read in Ephesians 4, it says that when Christ ascended up into heaven, he left some apostles, some pastors, preachers, so on and so forth. So it's a gift that God gave to men. Not something that you can get from a certificate or from going to seminary school.
Let me just bring this out, this point out, because it happened to Christ.
Okay.
Because a lot of people go, man, you don't have, but even pastors deal with you and say, how much do you study and this and that?
Right.
And I tell them about the gift of the Holy Ghost
right.
and the understanding that the more I do right,
right,
the more I understand.
Right.
And a lot of people can't relate to that. They think you got to sit there and read cover to cover. No, you don't have to do that.
Right.
Because the Most High is dealing with us spiritually.
Exactly.
Not saying that you don't have to study, because the Bible says what?
Right.
Study.
Show that stuff.
But then the scriptures will show you how to answer. The Spirit will show you how to answer, just like we do.
Right.
When you relate the story of Elijah
right.
and compare them to who?
Any
long.
Long, yeah.
Why? Because that was a spiritual connection that you could put together
right.
to show people the example from the scriptures and the corrupt example.
Exactly.
Let me read something.
Yep.
And people don't understand. It doesn't come from a man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to read John 7. I'm going to start at verse 14. Christ was at the one feast, the Feast of Tabernacles, right?
Okay.
And this is what happened. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up in the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself.
Wow.
Perfect example.
Exactly.
This is what we do.
Right.
You know, because you came in as a young man.
Right.
You know, the more and more you apply yourself, get over your demons and repent,
right.
the better you see clear and understand.
Exactly.
That's why we can teach the Bible and teach the show. Why? Because just like Christ, we ain't dealing with men's doctrine in there. At their time, they said letters.
Right.
We're not dealing, I don't give a damn about. People get, and they say I'm arrogant. When I go, man, I don't really care about some divinity school.
Right.
And you can't figure out how not to tell a man not to put his penis in another man's behind.
Exactly.
And you went to a divinity school.
Right.
You can't tell people what's going to stop the violence in your community, and you went to this divinity school, and you're supposed to be learned.
Exactly.
You can't tell and deal with people at the rate of the ministry that Christ was dealing with, because why? You got people in your congregation that's what? Bankrupt
exactly.
of any kind of spiritual edification and understanding.
Exactly.
While you getting paid and you a big lusty bastard.
Hmm.
This is the thing. So what does that divinity school mean? It don't mean a damn thing.
It don't mean nothing, yeah.
We dealing with the doctrine of Christ.
Right.
I'm not, I don't, the hell with your divinity school.
Right.
And this is what was going on with Christ, the same thing that's going on. We teaching our people they got to repent.
Exactly.
Christ is not welfare and giving out benefit cards.
Exactly.
You have to work for this blessing.
Exactly.
That's what it is. That's the Christ of this Bible.
Exactly.
Not the Christ that y'all teaching in that church.
Exactly. Yep, good point. Now, back in 1 Peter 4, and it says, if any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth him. Explain that. It says that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Now, the example that you just read a while ago in John 7 and 15.
Right.
Christ said, my doctrine is not mine,
exactly,
but his that sent me.
Right.
In that statement alone, what was he doing? He was giving back the glory to God.
Exactly.
So right here when we read, it says that God in all things may be glorified. So the glory shouldn't go to a man.
Right.
Man, you sure know that Bible.
Oh, that pastor.
Yeah, pastor. He did a great sermon today.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what did you learn?
I don't know,
but it was good. I know that
I
was
felt good.
Yeah, I felt good. I just had a good feeling right after I got done.
Uh-huh.
And all this man did was tell a bunch of lies, fables, and big himself up.
Right.
Not one time giving glory back to the Heavenly Father through Christ.
Exactly.
And this is what a real ordained minister is going to do. That's what Christ did.
Right.
My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me.
Right.
So when we preach, it's the same thing.
Right.
It's not our doctrine. It's the doctrine that's been around forever and ever. It's God's doctrine now through his son Christ, because he came and showed us a better way and a better understanding.
And you said, how they going to know? Christ spelled it out.
Right.
Anyone that do his will, we just read it.
Exactly.
Shall know
the doctrine,
whether the doctrine be of me or if it be what? Of the Most High.
Exactly.
So that means you have to commit yourself to something. That's like we said.
Right.
The more and more we do right and understand it, the more we get understanding from what these words are saying.
Exactly.
Right.
Yep, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's go from there to Malachi 2, verse 7. And we're going to read here again of what a real ordained preacher of the word should be, what they should be like. What should they be speaking? Because we just read that if any man minister, if any man speak, let him speak according to the oracles of God. That was in the New Testament. Did anything change from that to the Old Testament? Has it always been that way? Does God always command his preachers and pastors and priests to do that? Let's see. Malachi 2, verse 7.
Malachi 2, verse 7. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts.
For the priest's lips, priest, again, same thing, someone who's over a congregation, their lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth.
Hmm.
So the priest, the preacher, the minister, should what, have the laws of God in his mouth and speaking it and bringing it out, not saying that's that old law, we don't have to do it anymore.
Right.
Someone comes to you and say, okay, pastor, you know, I was listening to these brothers, Body of Christ Church or whatever, and they were saying that, you know, the Bible says we shouldn't eat swine flesh. What do you think about that? Well, you know, that's the old law. We don't have to do that no more. Christ came, did away with it, and as long as you pray over it and eat it, you're good.
You shall, if you do my will, you're going to know whether the doctrine is of mine or is it the one that sent me.
There we go. That's how we're going to know. But these people were seeing that, and then that these people aren't real priests.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't real preachers.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not speaking the law at his mouth. It says, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts.
There you go.
Again, the scriptures already pointed out, how shall they learn without a preacher?
Right.
So that's a mechanism that Christ, God through Christ, put in the earth. That,
right.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to have my word come out, but it's going to come through a man. Because he's not going to talk to us from the sky.
Right.
He's
going to
use
presupposed.
Exactly.
Right.
And that's the thing. So these people should be the messenger of the Lord of hosts. And
right.
This is what should be coming out of their mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Scripture for scripture, okay, the scripture says this, scripture says we're supposed to do that, so on and so forth.
Right.
Not coming out from their own mind.
Right.
That's the thing. Now, let's go from there. Let's look at an example.
Okay.
Another example. We read one of Christ. Go to Nehemiah 8. And we're going to read here. We're going to read verse 2 and verse 3.
Nehemiah 8, verse 2 reads, "And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women."
Stop. So the priest's lips should seek knowledge and should what? Have the law of his mouth, right? Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women. And read on.
"And all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month."
What did he do with this law? Did he tell them, "People, this law here is old, is that old law that Moses wrote. You no longer have to do it." Read on.
"And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning unto midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law."
Okay, read 5 and 6. Nehemiah 8:5.
"And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground."
Stop. So Ezra, when we read here, opened the book of the law, right, gave them the understanding thereof. I forgot what verse that's in. But it says he gave them the understanding of the law, and the people, what, opened their mouth and said, Amen. Amen means what? So let it be.
Right.
So he didn't say, this is that old law that Moses wrote, and we no longer have to do it. Just do whatever it is that you want to do. He didn't say that. He did what the scripture says, the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at thy mouth. So that's an example. That's an example of a real priest, a real preacher, an ordained preacher.
Real quick, go ahead. Just to bring out the point, in the New Testament, Romans 3:31,
okay.
It says that they did this in the name of the Lord, and they blessed the Lord, right?
Right.
It says here, Romans 3:31, "Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we established the law."
Exactly.
So the same standard is for us as a guide today.
Exactly.
Because we have the faith of Christ, this is Paul talking, saying the same thing and dealing with the same thing that Ezra was dealing with,
exactly,
back in the book of Nehemiah.
Exactly.
We got the law, but now we have to understand that we have to exercise it, meditate on it, in the mindset of Christ.
Exactly.
This is how we establish it.
Right.
It's not a curse anymore if we deal with it according to the faith that is in Christ.
Right.
It's going to guide us to what? All righteousness.
Exactly. No, that's a good point. Thanks for bringing that out also, because now it's through Christ that we do it.
Exactly.
Go to Luke 4, and we're going to see again, did Christ do something different? Because he was the ultimate preacher, right? Did he do something different?
Right.
Luke 4:14-21.
Luke 4:14. "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about."
Stop. This is the start of his ministry. The start of it. Okay? Read on.
"And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all."
Okay, so he taught. That's what a minister does, right? A priest, right? Teaches.
Yes.
So Christ taught in the synagogues where the people gathered, no different from a term they use today, church.
Right.
No different. Christ taught. What did Christ do? Read on.
"And he came to Nazareth, he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read."
For the priest's lips should seek knowledge, right?
Mm-hmm.
And seek the law of his mouth. So what did Christ do? What did he ask for?
Verse 17, "And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Because we know what happened. Now,
exactly.
A lot of people might not know what happened after that.
Right. All right. So Christ went into the synagogue, and he what? Got the book of the prophet Isaiah from the minister, opened it, and then he read out of the book the very same scripture that prophesied of him coming and dealing with the people. Mm-hmm. So he didn't go in and what, start speaking out of his own mind or whatever. He didn't do any of that.
Yeah.
He followed the protocol of what was written, that they should keep knowledge, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he did. He picked up the Bible, picked up the book of Isaiah, read it, explained it, and says, okay, this is the part that talks about me coming to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, so on and so forth, and then he gave it again to the minister and said, this day has this scripture been fulfilled in your ears.
Because I'm here.
Exactly. So did he do anything different?
No.
Did he ask for money?
No.
He didn't do any of that. He didn't do any of that. He went, preached the word, read out of the book of Isaiah, and that is what we should, ordained ministers should be doing today.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. Okay? Now, why is this important for us to know? You stay right here in Luke, and we're going to go over to chapter 6. And we're going to read 39, because earlier you said, well, do the people really care? And that's the most important question. Do people really care? And the answer is most people don't. Why should we care? Luke 6, verse 39.
Luke 6 and 39. And he spake a parable unto them, and the blind lead the blind. Shall they not both fall into the ditch?
Stop. Can a blind person lead? Okay. let's say, for example, we're in this studio here, right, this room or whatever, and a fire breaks out, for example.
Right.
And we're both completely blind, 100% blind.
Right.
And we know that a fire, because we can smell the smoke.
Right, right.
Can I lead you to the exit?
No.
Or you lead me to the exit?
No.
What's going to happen? We're both going to burn out.
Exactly.
Unless someone comes in to help us.
Right.
Right. But we're both going to be burned because we're both blind. So Christ is saying, can the blind lead the blind? So the people that's not studying for themselves to know of the doctrine,
right,
they're following a blind, ignorant leader.
Right.
And they're also going to be destroyed,
exactly,
when Christ comes back. That's why it's important that we should care.
Let's say ignorant as far as thus saith the Lord out the Bible.
Thank you.
Because they're
not
very crafty.
Meaning, yeah.
No, it's not.
Okay,
no,
okay.
I'll beat the meaning because they're wicked.
Right.
But they're very crafty and knowledgeable on the doctrine of Satan that they're dealing with.
Right.
The Christ of December 25th.
Right.
This worldly Christianity concept that has nothing to do with the Bible.
Exactly.
Because the real Christians are followers of the Bible, the Christ that's preached in the Bible.
Exactly.
So they're ignorant of that, but they're not ignorant, so that's not underestimated.
Right.
They're very crafty,
yeah,
at their craft.
They know
that's how they can teach,
right,
prosperity doctrine,
right,
and have mansions and yachts, because they know the people pretty much are sheep.
True.
And if they put a nice show on,
right,
they'll be ready to follow.
True.
And who's going to do what the scriptures say we're supposed to do? Check to make sure these things are true.
Exactly.
Who's going to do that?
Not many people.
So is the blind leading the blind syndrome. Go ahead,
exactly.
Bob.
And that's a good point,
mm-hmm,
to bring out. All right. Let's go from there to Jeremiah 23.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to see here why, again, it's important sticking on that topic. Jeremiah 23, read 16 and 17.
Jeremiah 23, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord.
So God himself is telling us, don't listen to these people. They're making you vain. You're nothing. You're not getting any better.
Exactly.
You're not going to receive salvation. It says they speak a vision out of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. So they're not coming from the Bible.
Right.
Okay. Read on.
Verse 18.
No, I'm sorry. Stop.
Okay.
Read 31 and 32.
Okay. Verse 31. It reads, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness, yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord.
That's why we should care. Because they're not profiting you, the people, when you go there and listen to these sermons or whatever. You're not getting any profit out of it.
Exactly.
And the Lord is against them. That's what he's saying. This is not us judging.
Right.
This is what the word of God is saying.
Right.
He's against people that are like that. And we're not profiting from it, from hearing that foolishness.
Right.
Now, this will be the last scripture. Go to 1 Thessalonians 4. Why should we care? 1 Thessalonians 4, and we're going to read 21 and 22.
1 Thessalonians 4, real quick.
Yep.
21 and 22. 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. You sure it's 1 Thessalonians 4?
No. You know, I'm sorry. 5 and 21.
Okay, that's right. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verse 21 and 22. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from appearance of all evil.
It says, prove all things. So when you hear these people coming out of their mouths or saying, thus saith the Lord sent me this, the Lord sent me a dream, blah, 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 this and that, prove it. Can you prove it? Can you go in the Bible and say, okay, what this man is preaching, is it according to thus saith the Lord? Is it that? Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. So hold on to that which is good, which is what the word of the Lord is good. When we read it, okay, then it says, abstain from all appearance of evil. These people that are calling themselves ministers, pastors, they're nothing but evil. And you not us saying it, by their actions.
Exactly. Look
the
at
scriptures
them.
That we just read, yeah, they're evil. They're corrupted. You don't, someone don't go to you without any father, right, and then you what? Turn it into your own gain and for your own lust.
That's why I say lusty bastard.
Right.
Yeah.
Sexually abusing them. You don't do that. That's evil.
Evil.
The scripture says abstain. Stay away from. Mm-hmm. Don't go into it.
Even the appearance of it.
Right. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Don't even deal with them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole point. That's why we should care, because those things are not profiting us.
Right, exactly.
That's what God said, because they're telling nothing but lies. Exactly. And that's why we should care.
Right.
Okay, so any questions, you can call 1-877-871-1712. That's 1-877-871-1712. We hope this word was edifying to those who want to be edified, because we know most people are going to say, whatever, I'm still going to go to church, I'm going to deal with my pastor, but that's cool. You do what you do. Okay, but for the ones that really care, any questions, call that number and, you know, someone will call you back and answer whatever questions you have. And with that, we say peace.
Shalom. Stay tuned. We will continue the show after a short break with brief announcements. Thank you.
The Body of Christ Church Radio Network broadcasts 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. Listen to our archive broadcasts or check us out while we are live on the air. Come and visit us in the virtual living room at 2 o'clock p.m. on Sundays, where we examine current topics according to the scriptures. Are you looking for the truth? Can you handle the truth? Find out on Mondays at 8 o'clock p.m. It doesn't matter what church you attend or philosophy you believe, take the challenge to see, are you smarter than your pastor, on Tuesdays at 8 o'clock p.m. The world is engrossed in darkness, but it shall be destroyed by the light. Check out From Darkness to Light at 7 o'clock p.m. on Wednesdays, where all manner of witchcraft, occult practices, and Satanism is exposed for what it is. Before the light comes, it's time to awake on Thursdays at 8 o'clock p.m. If you are seeking salvation, listen to Repentance is the Key, Fridays at 7 o'clock p.m. And after you've listened to all of these shows, find out how we will become kings and priests Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock a.m. All shows are on Eastern Standard Time. Remember to check out the Body of Christ Church 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/the BOCC. That's blogtalkradio.com/THEBOCC. Shalom. Connect with the Body of Christ Church on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. You can like our Facebook page at facebook.com/the BOCC. Follow us on Twitter at the BOCC and view our videos on youtube.com/the BOCC1. Link with us to learn more about repentance and salvation according to the Holy Bible. Remember what Christ said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." We pray that the information on our pages guide you towards true repentance to the Heavenly Father in the name of Christ. Shalom.
What we're going to discuss today, the topic that we're going to go over is the real Jesus Christ. And that's the topic that we're going to discuss today, the real Jesus Christ. Because now we're in that time of year where they say Jesus is the reason for the season, right? Next week, Sunday, I believe, will be Christmas, which the whole world promotes and pushes as Jesus Christ's birthday. So we're in the season, the Christmas season. People think it's all about Christ, and they're going to be doing all these different things, buying gifts for their children, coveting, going to these different holiday parties, committing adultery, you know, fornication, all these different things that happens around this time of year, prevalent, okay? So we're going to see, was Jesus Christ about that, about those things? Was that really what he was? Or is that something that just that the world pushes and promotes? So the real Jesus Christ. Where would we be able to find about Jesus Christ? Go to John 5. Where can we find out about the real Jesus Christ? Is Jesus really the reason for the season that we're in right now? John 5 and 39. Where can we find out about Christ, the real Jesus Christ?
John 5 verse 39. Search the scriptures.
Search what?
Search the scriptures.
Okay.
For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me.
So this is Jesus Christ talking. If you have a red edition Bible, this is in red. He's saying, search the scriptures. But when this was being written, the New Testament wasn't even written yet. They only had books of the Old Testament. So he's saying, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. So he was talking to the scribes and the Pharisees because they denied him and they didn't believe on him. And they thought they could get into the kingdom of heaven without him, without believing on him. So he's saying, in them ye think ye have eternal life, but what? And they are they which testify of me. So the scriptures what testify of Jesus Christ, about him coming, mm-hmm. what he would do, and how he also dealt with the prophets and the children of Israel in the old time, in the Old Testament. So that's what he's saying, search the scriptures. So the scriptures, we have to read the scriptures for ourselves, because this whole Christmas thing is what? A tradition that's been passed down for many, many years. And people ignorantly celebrate that day, thinking that it's Jesus' birthday or that he's with the festivities that go on. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to help out families that are in need, you know, around this time. We're going to give gifts to them. Christ wasn't into that. That's a whole pagan tradition. And that's around not the real time. Jesus. Yeah, around this time.
Christ was having that in mind all times.
Yeah, exactly.
Not just between Thanksgiving and January 1st.
Yeah, exactly. You know, just helping out people that are in need of whatever a certain time. No, right. That's all at all times, just like he said. So he says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So the real Jesus Christ can be found about when you pick up your Bible and read it. So if you really pick up your Bible and read it for yourself, many, many prophecies and in the scriptures will tell you that he was not born in the wintertime. We don't know when exactly he was born, but we know that it's not in the wintertime just based on the things that were happening, just based on what? His mother wrapping him in swaddling clothes or whatever. The shepherds were out
in
the field at the time. That wouldn't happen in the wintertime.
No.
That doesn't make sense. Doesn't make common sense.
Just so people know, they deal with geography and climate. The Palestinian winters are very, very cold.
Right.
They're too cold for, you know, you to be out there minding the sheep.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so that's the thing. And nowadays with technology and all that, you can do a Google search and see what the weather is like over in that region.
Right, exactly.
Around, do it next week, and you'll see that, man, it's way too cold for people to be out here like doing things like that. So you'll see that. Let's go from there to Hebrews 10. And we're going to read verses 7. So we're talking about the real Jesus Christ and where we can find out about him. Okay, because the problem is, like I said, a lot of us, we don't read our Bibles and we just go by traditions. We just, it's a nice time around this time, get together with our families. You know, that's what it is. That's what a lot of people say. Or it's for the kids. So let's read Hebrews 10 and 7.
Hebrews 10 verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God.
Okay, so this is Jesus Christ again saying, lo, I come in the volume of the book. What's the volume? Volume means the entire book, right? The entire Bible. I come in the entire Bible. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. So ever since the beginning of time from Genesis, ever since then, it was prophesied that Jesus Christ would come into earth to do the will of the Heavenly Father and to adopt his children back to him. It's always been written about Christ, and it was written about how he would be and when he came, the things that he would do. And when he did come, records were kept and left for us of the things that he did. So it is written in the volume of the book of Christ. So we want to know about the real Jesus Christ, what he was really like. Was he really into these festivities? Did he really tell us to celebrate his birthday?
And was he born on December 25th?
Exactly. Was he really born on December 25th?
But the question is you have to ask yourself, if these things are not true, why are these days so important in this world?
Exactly.
Because things that are connected to the day of December 25th is something you can't find in the Bible,
exactly.
But you can find it in the world because it's what?
A worldly tradition.
Exactly. Worldly tradition based on what? Wickedness,
right.
And wickedness on top of wickedness.
Exactly.
So go ahead.
Yep. That's the point. So let's go from there to Hebrews 13 and read verses 8.
Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever.
Okay. So this is showing us something important again. It says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, so the yesterday that it's talking about, back then in old English, or when the Bible was translated, that word yesterday meaning like aforetime. So the Jesus Christ that we read about in the Old Testament, when he was dealing with Moses, when the Heavenly Father said, I'm going to send my angel to deal with you and to guide you, that same Jesus Christ that dealt with them, with Moses in the wilderness, is the same Jesus Christ that he was when he came in the flesh and was on the earth. That's the today that it's talking about. And it's the same Jesus Christ forever. Now that he's ascended back into heaven, it's the same Jesus Christ that has always been here. He has not changed. He will never change. He will always be the same. So it's important that when we go from Old Testament to the New Testament, it's the same consistent Jesus Christ.
Right. And see, people have to get an understanding that that is true, because remember the advertisement or acknowledgement to Moses about this angel. What did
right.
he say? beware of him.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if you disobey him, what?
You're going to be put to death.
So now it's the same thing with the flood. The Most High was, what, frustrated, mad about what he created because it went to wickedness. So
he
sent the flood, right?
Right.
But then what did he say to Noah? Listen, I know that man's heart is, what, wicked from his youth. I'm not going to curse the land with a flood anymore. He's going to give us a mechanism of time, grace to repent.
Right.
That's the same thing that Christ did when he came back.
Exactly.
He wasn't like the angel.
Right.
In the beginning, that would, what, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, cause you to be put to death.
Right.
He came in the flesh to show us, give us understanding that we might, what, get the grace on how we are to be. But the way he's telling us to be is no different than the way we were supposed to be in the beginning and what he was instructing us even in the wilderness.
Exactly. Well, that's a very good point, and that's going to lead us to the next scripture. So what did he teach us? Because you just said he came on the earth and taught us. So what did he teach us? Go to Titus.
One more point. The next verse, Hebrews, you read Hebrews 13 and 8?
Yeah.
It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Then it reads, be not carried about with what? Diverse and strange doctrine. For it is a good thing that the heart, meaning the mind, be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein.
Oh,
so when you're going into that whole sacrificial law, that's what's talking about the beast.
Right.
But what is he saying? What you get ready to go into?
Exactly.
What did he teach? That's what our minds are supposed to be established in.
Right.
And that what he taught, well, as we're going to read, didn't change from beware of my angel in the wilderness to Christ coming in the flesh to him ascending, sitting on the right-hand side of the Father.
Exactly.
What do you want?
And then go to Titus 2, and we're going to read 11 and 12.
Uh-huh.
But then another part to the scripture also when it says, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. The doctrine of Christmas is strange.
And diverse.
Many different variations of it. Right? You have people, and you know what gets me, and I said this before, you have people that are straight killers, right?
Right.
Got a lot of bodies on their hand, right? December 25th comes around, they celebrate Christmas. That always used to blow my mind.
Right.
I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
And all these variations come from what? A strange doctrine, whether that's the sun worship.
Exactly.
Because of Sol Invictus.
Right.
That's what they worship in, and they put in all these different things in it. The Norsemen burned a Yule log.
Right.
You know, back in ancient times, Babylonians, they got a tree.
Right.
You know what I mean? All these different variations of it, but it's still the worship of the sun god.
Exactly.
And even today, the so-called Christians putting Christ on it with Christmas trees and presents and goodwill for all good men.
Exactly.
All right, go ahead.
Yep, that's a good point. It's diverse, is that what you said. So read Titus 2, verses 11 and 12. What did Christ came teaching us?
Titus, the second chapter, verses 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world.
Stop. So it says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. That bringeth salvation is talking about Jesus Christ. That was the grace of God, and that's what we just explained a while ago, that now we're in that grace period where we're being warned not to break his commandments. And if we do, we're going to be put to death. We're not being put to death yet, okay, because we still have that grace period to get it right. So that person that it's talking about is Jesus Christ. So in verses 12, it says, teaching us that. So Christ came and what? Taught us to what? Deny ungodliness. Deny that stuff. Deny wickedness. Deny the whole holiday parties, the fornication that happens around this time. You know, just the excuse, well, you know, baby, I drank a little bit too much, and, you know, I just accidentally end up kissing, and next thing you know, end up having sex and ungodliness, man. That's not the right mind of God, okay, that we're supposed to have. So Christ came and taught us what? To deny ungodliness and worldly lust.
Yep.
Around this time, there's a lot of different lust that goes on. And when we say lust, a lot of people usually associate that with just sexual things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not only sexual things. A lust means a desire. Mm-hmm. So people have a lot of what desire for these different gifts.
Yeah, that's what the
right.
That's
yeah.
the trap about the Christmas thing.
Exactly. So Christ came and what taught us what to deny those worldly lusts. Well, my brother got something better than I did.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I want that too. Coveting,
right.
all those different things.
And it plays to your lust. Who don't like a good party with food and gifts?
Yeah.
Wine, women.
Yeah.
You know, getting exactly. new holiday spirit, holiday cheer.
Yeah.
Going off, you know, knocking the boots or whatever they call it today. Who,
yeah.
who doesn't enjoy that?
Exactly.
All in the name of what?
Christmas. Yeah.
It appeals to your lust. That's the whole thing.
Exactly.
That's the trap.
Exactly. So that's what Christ said, because it says teaching us denying ungodliness and worldly lust, all these different things that are in the world, man. That's what he came and taught us to deny.
Mm-hmm.
It says we should live soberly.
Mm-hmm.
So the soberly that it's talking about is what? Being clear-minded.
Mm-hmm.
Always thinking of the consequences of our actions. Clear-minded, okay, this is what I'm about to do here. You know, this whole giving the gifts or it's for the children. Buying gifts for the children. Is that really what the Bible says for us to do? Did Christ really live his life this way, tell us to do these things? That's living what? Soberly, what you're thinking about, your actions, what you're doing. You're clear-minded.
Circumspect.
Yeah, as if not, let's take the opposite. If you're not sober, what are you? You're drunk. So when you're drunk, you're not in that right frame of mind.
Right.
You can't think straight.
Lewd behavior and everything else.
Right, exactly. So that's what it's talking about. So he came and taught us that we should live soberly, righteously. Being righteous is explained in the scriptures where it says that when we do his commandments, do the commandments of God through Christ now, that makes us a righteous person. So if the commandment says thou shalt not steal, guess what? We don't steal. We don't go into a department store, see something that we like. Well, you know, I really ain't got the money, but I gotta get a gift for my kid. You know what I'm saying? If I don't, I'm not going to be a good mother. I'm not going to be a good father. People do that stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Steal, rob.
Yeah.
Kill. Get money.
Exactly.
Got to buy my kids some presents.
Exactly. So that if we do those things, do the commandments of God, guess what? That's when we're righteous.
Mm-hmm.
Then it says godly.
Mm.
Being just like how the Heavenly Father is in heaven. Perfect. No wickedness at all in his mind. He doesn't entertain it. Nothing like that. In this present world.
Mm.
Not in the world to come.
Mm. That's what people are waiting on.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the cold reality that a lot of us are going to, you know, wake up to at the when it's too late. Okay, we have to be living this way right now in this present world. No matter what the different tribulations are, no matter what different persecutions are, because when we live this way, the whole world is opposite from this. So you're going to get the stares, you're going to get the people saying things about you, people doing things to you. You're going to get your family denying you, well, why aren't you coming over for the holiday, the Christmas dinner or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't you doing that? You're going to get that. But we have to stand firm for the Lord and what he says, because he taught us that we should live this way in this present world. So right now, this present world, that's what he came teaching us. So let's go from there and let's look at some other examples of what Christ taught us. Let's go straight to him. Go to Luke 12. Because we mentioned about the coveting. And, you know, and that's one of the things that happens around this time of year. Okay, people covet after these different gifts, to these different things.
And they give in to their lust.
Right.
Mistletoe.
Exactly.
You've been wanting to hit this dude's girl for forever. So now is your perfect opportunity. You hold a mistletoe over her and then you just start kissing on her.
Yeah, exactly. You know? So let's read Luke 12 and 15.
Luke 12, verse 15, which reads, and he said unto them.
Now, stop for a second. Who's the he that is talking about?
It's talking about Christ.
Okay, so read on.
And he said unto them, take heed and be aware of covetousness. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses.
Okay, stop. So it says, and he said unto them, so Christ said unto them, beware of covetousness, right? For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. So when you read this, right before this, a guy came to him and was like, yo, can you talk to my brother so that he shares what he just got with me, his inheritance with me? Can you talk to him?
Right, man, it was funny.
Yeah, I know it was. That's why I'm laughing. He was that man who made me a judge.
The divider of you.
Yeah, exactly. Who made me that person. But then, as always, he reproved the people that were listening. Okay, he says, take heed and beware of covetousness, because that's what this dude was. He was coveting after his brother's thing. So, and that's what people do today. So that's why I mentioned about the whole gifts things. You know, I was like, well, he got a bigger gift than me. He got something better than I did.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're coveting. Now you're going into that wicked mindset that we're not supposed to have. You know, or you got the people that's always scheming,
mm-hmm.
robbing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what? Around this time is when people go out shopping for their holiday gifts at Best Buy, Target. Now what? They're going to jack somebody's car, right? Because they see when they're putting stuff in their trunk. All that, that's coveting. You know what I'm saying?
But it's kind of funny, but it's the same thing. We teach our kids that.
Right.
Because this whole business is about the Christmas list.
Right.
Make your Christmas list for Santa.
Yeah.
One year, there was a big discrepancy in my house
because
my brother put down a G.I. Joe. So, you know, our parents got the G.I. Joe.
Right.
He's mad because he wanted the G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu grip. And we teach our kids this whole covenant business at a what?
Early.
Make your Christmas list.
Right.
Now, he wasn't grateful for what he had.
Yeah.
You know, my brother probably hear this and cry, like, oh, why are you mad? You know, but anyway, but it was a big thing in the house. Oh, he's mad. He got an attitude because he didn't get.
Right.
That thing that he desired, and you see what happened, right?
Exactly.
He wanted the one with the Kung Fu grip.
Yeah, covenant, yeah. So that's what Christ came and taught us, what? To take heed to these things. And these are the things that happen around this time of year.
Exactly. That's happened around Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. That's happened around Christmas. So when we look at the real Jesus Christ, this is the real Jesus Christ. We're reading it. We're not just saying it, but we're reading it of what he is saying. That's the real Jesus Christ talking. It ain't what the world promotes and what they push around this time.
Right.
It ain't that.
Oh, it's so much the holiday spirit. And I'll be wanting to ask, okay, what is this holiday spirit you talk about? And show me it in the Bible.
Exactly.
Where is that coming from?
Exactly.
It's coming from Satan. That's what's coming from.
That's exactly what's coming from you know, traditions that's been pushed.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go from there to Mark 10. And we're going to read 24.
Mark 10, reading verse 24. Reads, and the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God?
Stop. The reason why I read this, like when we read it earlier about worldly lust, okay, what this was, this was a guy, another guy that came to Christ and asked him, oh, what can I do? What's the one thing that I can do to inherit eternal life?
Mm.
Christ says, first of all, why are you calling me good? Don't call me good. There's none good but one good but God. So he takes the humility, and give all praises to his Father. Then Christ went into the commandments, don't kill, don't commit adultery, so on and so forth. So the man says, you know what? All these things, all these commandments, I've did them ever since I was a youth, ever since I was a little kid. What am I lacking? Christ says, if you want to be perfect, go and sell all that you have and follow me. This man left sad. Why? Because the scriptures tell us he had great possessions. So when we read 24, and the disciples, so, and he says, 23, he says, how hardly shall they enter the kingdom of God that have riches, have trusted riches.
Right.
Because he brings that out. He says, and the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answereth again and said unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches? That's the key.
Right.
Trusting in what you have. Exactly. It's not the riches. That's why the disciples were astounded. Like, oh, damn. Who is going to be saved?
Right.
Because they had, you know, they had stuff. It's not like, you know, a lot of us today are broke, poor, right. destitute. It ain't like that. But they had things, and they were astonished when he said that, but then he clarified it and said, how hard is it for them that trust in riches? So when we talk about him came and taught us denying worldly lust, that's what it is. When people have these different things, have these great possessions, the houses, the Beamers, the Lexus.
I'm great. Look at what I got. Look at what I've amassed.
Exactly. Trusting in those things. And then we want to go and celebrate Christmas, and then you might bring the correction to a person like that and say, you know what, man, Christ says we're not supposed to be into that. Man, screw you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing that. You're just jealous because you ain't got what I got.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But because what? You're trusting in your riches.
Well, I'm blessed.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm
yeah, you're,
blessed.
You've been blessed by the devil. That's who you've been blessed by.
Time?
1 minute? Okay. The clock is kind of slow, but okay. So with that, you know, we hope people took heed to these words. And any questions, call 1-877-871-1712. 877-871-1712. With that, we say peace.
The Body of Christ Church Radio Network broadcasts 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. Listen to our archive broadcasts or check us out while we are live on the air. Come and visit us in the virtual living room at 2 o'clock p.m. on Sundays, where we examine current topics according to the scriptures. Are you looking for the truth? Can you handle the truth? Find out on Mondays at 8 o'clock p.m. It doesn't matter what church you attend or philosophy you believe, take the challenge to see, are you smarter than your pastor, on Tuesdays at 8 o'clock p.m. The world is engrossed in darkness, but it shall be destroyed by the light. Check out From Darkness to Light at 7 o'clock p.m. on Wednesdays, where all manner of witchcraft, occult practices, and Satanism is exposed for what it is. Before the light comes, it's time to awake. On Thursday at 8 o'clock p.m. If you are seeking salvation, listen to Repentance is the Key, Fridays at 7 o'clock p.m. And after you've listened to all of these shows, find out how we will become kings and priests, Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock a.m. All shows are on Eastern Standard Time. Remember to check out the Body of Christ Church 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. That's blogtalkradio.com/THEBOCC. Shalom.
Well, I wish I could be.
The Body of Christ Repentance Network. www.thebocc.com.